I wasn't going to read this scripture, but the Holy Spirit just told me to read it prior to the message, which is entitled Warfare Faith. Warfare Faith. The scriptures that I'll be using today, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, 1 Timothy 1, 18 through 19, 2 Timothy 2, 3 through 5. I really want you to pay attention because this word is highly anointed and it's for your spirit today. I've been in prayer and fasting this week for this specific message. And God has something so deep today that he wants you to swim out into the deep waters. Are you ready to go swimming in the deep waters? But the Holy Spirit just told me to make sure that I read this prior to this specific text. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. This is found in Ephesians chapter 6, just verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a warfare that goes on. And sad to say, there are a lot of Christian people today that's got their head in the sand that don't realize there's a warfare going on. And I really love a lot of people that belong to certain movements. I love the Word of Faith. I think they have a great word to speak to people. But, you know, their word just doesn't talk about how to fight, how to win a battle. And what we need to do is learn not only to have faith, which we'll talk about in a moment, a deep faith, which we'll embrace hopefully in a moment, but we need to know that there's a warfare faith also, that we need to be able to use. In what way, preacher? How about use when the enemy starts to attack your household? You just don't turn the TV up louder and act like he's not there. You got to have a strong faith to be able to command the enemy where his responsibilities are not. A strong faith, a strong word, an anointed word. You got to be full of the Holy Ghost. So when you get empty of the world, you got to fill up with God. It's really important to have that in your life and to know what God is speaking to your spirit. So 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Just let me say this. This is in the first verse in verse 3 there in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. So God is well aware, and he wants you and I to be well aware, that we are still flesh and blood here. You know, I didn't float the church, I drove the church. Last time I walked on water, I almost drowned. You follow what I'm saying to you? It's just we are flesh and we can be very fleshly people if we're not careful. And we can use God in our way of being fleshly. What we need to understand is that we are also needing to grasp that there is a power that dwells within us that's not our power. We don't own it. It owns us. We're not indebted to the flesh. We are indebted to the Spirit. To where when we come up against these powers and principalities and kingdoms and dominions and wicked hosts and high places, we need to know how to tear them down. Christ put all these in subjection in Colossians 2, in subjection to him. He cast them down. He defeated them at the cross. But yet we have to understand that there is still a war going on. And that war is to defeat you and defeat your family. Defeat the church in America and across the world. And what we can defeat him with is the knowledge of who we are and the faith that we have in God. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 19. This I charge, I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you. I just want to stop there for a moment and let you know that when a prophetic word comes into your life, it's there to stay. You just don't digest it out. It's there. It goes in and hangs out, and it's not leaving to the rapture. What he's saying there to him is if you hang on to these prophecies that were concerning you. Let me say this too, and I'm trying to be very strong, and I don't want to venture too far away from subject today. But, you know, you can't lean on somebody else's prophetic word.
That's right.
Somebody's got a prophetic word in their life. Don't sit there and try to live out their prophetic word. God's got a word for you.
Right.
And he wants you to live in it. He wants you to understand that by them you may wage the good warfare. You see, that prophetic word is God giving you an anointing to wage a good warfare. Let me say that again. God has given you a prophetic word in your life so you can wage a good warfare. Can you give me an example, preacher? I am so glad one of you just asked me that question. When God calls you into the ministry, the devil tries to close the door on the ministry. The prophetic word is that God has called you into the ministry. Hang on to that prophetic word and go to war over that prophetic word, because it's your ministry that God has given to you that came from his throne room of grace. It's a prophetic word in your life. It's there, and the enemy does not want you in the ministry. Well, I don't feel I'm called to the ministry. How about something else? When God speaks to your heart that he's going to heal you, or he's going to speak to your heart with just a word of knowledge that he's going to save your family or take care of your children. Or there's a word of wisdom in your life that you need to take this particular precaution and not go that particular way. You know, that just hangs into your life and the enemy tries to steer you a different way. Hang on, in other words, to the word of God in your life and learn to bring warfare to the enemy's camp. Don't let the enemy come to your camp. You know, because you're going to walk forward. He's going to not allow you to possess what God has given you to possess. Are you with me?
Amen.
Hang on. We're going for a ride here. Having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith have suffered shipwreck. People reject their prophetic word. They reject their calling. They take faith and shove it aside. And today, I don't think you're here today like this, but there are people that are there in the world that literally are shipwrecked in their faith because they've cast it all aside. Maybe they've just been waiting for somebody else to do what they should have been doing. Or maybe they're living out their faith in someone else. But let me tell you something, how important it is that we need to live our own faith. We need to live the gift of faith that God has given to us. The Bible says that everyone gets a measure of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every one of us have faith in our life. Don't reject it. So when the enemy comes to tempt you, by faith, say, "Stand ye behind me." Or, "Get out of my way." Or, "I don't have to do those things because I believe in the Lord God who is holy and mighty, and I may not be strong enough to overcome it by myself, but with him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Amen.
Amen. Go to war. Your soul is on the scales of weighing out your destiny And if you don't go to war, you can lose your soul. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. So in other words, he's saying there, in all essence and what you're doing, you got to endure. There's hardships that come. I'd like to tell you that being a Christian is like walking in the tulip garden. It's not. Sometimes I feel like I'm walking on thorns. Let me tell you something. You have to endure the hardships. When you read this book, which I love this book, it's called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. It's full of stories of men and women that surrendered to God totally. But boy, did they go through some stuff. And I'm going to talk to you about a few of them in a minute. Did they go through some stuff to get to their end of their destiny? They had to war to get to the place God had called them to get there. I mean, amazing to me. I mean, let's just throw a name out there. The Holy Spirit just dropped it in my mind, so I'm just going to listen to the Holy Ghost. And let's just drop a name out there. Daniel. He wanted to serve God. He served God his way, and they threw him in a lion's den. That's not a hardship. I tell you what, he had enough faith in God. He sat there and prayed, and the lions joined the prayer party. Amen. They were roaring in tongues by the end of the meeting. Praise God. I'm just trying to tell you right now. Then he takes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, throws them into a furnace, turns it up 7 times hotter than it should be. Nebuchadnezzar comes and looks through the viewing that he could far enough away to where he wouldn't be burned. He said, I see another one in there, and he looks like the Son of Man. You see, God's fire's always hotter than the world's fire. Amen. So the world's fire is nothing but cool compared to God's fire, which is hot and it burns off the dross, amen. And it brings you out pure in the presence of his kingdom and his mercy. Met God's hand putting the meal in. Let me tell you something, God knows how to take care of us if we just believe and know that we don't have to follow after the lies of the enemy. If we understand that we live a life as Christians, and it's a life of faith and a life of warfare, it's there. I'd like to tell you that there are days that come where you just kind of sit down and everything's flowing and everything's right and there's never a problem. But then there's a lot more days to where you wake up and you feel like you're waking up into a battle. Oftentimes the enemy will meet you in your mind when you first wake up and drop into your mind something negative and something desolate and something that will bring despair and make you start to think about it and concentrate your whole day on. But really, if you just get up and read the Word and get that stuff out of your mind, you know, I'm going to tell you something. No matter what you're going through right now, God's got it in control. God knows how he's going to handle it. He's just waiting for you to believe him in how he's going to handle it. We have to believe God in everything. There are moments of great faith, of course, and there's moments of great fear and doubt which try to conquer your belief in God. Fear is the crippling agent, the strongest agent in the church that is a spirit that cripples and paralyzes people so they can't do anything. They're so afraid. Doubt is a terrible thing because it's like a cancer. It just goes in and eats away at the faith and the confidence that you have. And if you don't walk in that faith and believe in that faith, you have to know that God's word is true and he will not fail you. He will always magnify himself and he will bring praise into your life. He will acknowledge himself to you every day. Just don't sit back and say, I doubt that. Stand up and say, I believe that. Praise God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Don't get all afraid of the roller coaster. Sit on the front seat. Put your hands up like that, going down that 100-foot drop, going, hallelujah. Amen. Believe God for the impossible. God can take your impossibility and make it a possibility. He's waiting on you just to believe Him. Don't doubt or fear, but have an act of faith in your spirit. God's just hanging out waiting for you. And guess what? He's got more time than you have. He's just waiting on you to say, God, I'm believing you. But you know, it's just not a confession. It's an active word. It's an action in your life to begin to move towards that. Then let me take you back. Timothy had a prophetic word given him by the laying on of hands. He learned from his grandmother and his mother. He learned from them. He had all this stuff. It was bred in him. It was a knowledge in him. It was alive in him. He's saying, hang on to that because you're going to go into war. And during that war, you may start to doubt who you are, what your identity is. Stand up and remember the word that was given to you. You are the winner, not the loser. God loves us. He's proven that already to us. He loves us. I love what it says in Titus 1 and 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Doesn't say God could not. Didn't say God would not. It says God cannot lie. Do you remember when you got a prophetic word? I remember all the prophecies given to my life. I remember some of them seemed a bit foolish, but then they started to happen. I remember some of them knocked me to the ground, slayed in the Holy Ghost of the living God. Praise God. I remember being out 2.5 hours in a prayer conference in Illinois. A man came and grabbed me by the lapels of my suit coat, pulled me right up to his face, and said, you are David. It is time now you come out of the fields and go to war. And he let me go. And for 2.5 hours, I was out in the Holy Ghost. We got to have that faith. You got to have that sense of entitlement that God has given us an opportunity to be victorious in what we do. He cannot lie. He can never deceive us. He cannot lie, but the enemy who deceives us, in John 8:44, Jesus calls him the father of lies. So what his job is to lie to you. To tell you you're not loved, to tell you you're an outsider, to tell you you're not part of the plan, to tell you that, you know, God's got somebody else. He looked at your resume and he went, whew. You know, God's not an HR specialist. Let me tell you about HR specialists. I was one. When I work for corporations, they look for certain lines in your resume. You send this 5-page resume, they don't ever read 5 pages. They scan the front of it and they see a couple bullet points. If they don't like it, That's how you're treated. But God doesn't do that. God looks at your life from the day you breathe your first breath coming out of the womb to the day you're going to take your last breath before you step into glory. He sees you and he sets a destiny before you and he says, this is who you are and this is what I'm going to make you to be. And praise God, he doesn't look at a failure resume. He doesn't look at bullet points. He reads all 5,627, if there's that many pages of your life and a story told, and he said, I can take a life and I can make it into something powerful if they'll just believe. Amen. Amen. What we have to do is have spiritual minds and not carnal minds. The Bible says in Romans 8:6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. If you feel dead in your Christianity, it's probably because you're carnal. Because the Bible says if you have a spiritual mind, you have life and peace. So we have to understand that this warfare that we come up against, we have to have a spiritual mind to defeat it. You got to be in the Bible, be in the Word. Read it every day. Get it in your spirit. Pray to God. Ask God to bless your family. Ask God to bless your job. Bless your kids. Bless your spouse. Bless your neighborhood. Bless God. Just keep blessing God. Somebody needs to be healed. Take time immediately and pray for their healing. I'm telling you, the devil never sleeps. You know why? Because he knows the church is sleeping all the time. We need to say to God, I am ready to fight. I am ready to war. I am ready to go to battle because you are God and the battle belongs to you. So I'm going in singing, praise God. Singing praises to my victory that's already mine. Amen. I meet a lot of Christians today that they're living in defeat because even though the battle's not over, they're already defeated. You are not the losers. You are the winners. You are the ones that God has said, I am going to do it in you and through you. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know. I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. Somebody get that down on tape. I am going to be honest with you. God knows, though, and if I knew or not, it would make a world of difference because there's no big I's or little U's in this church. Let me tell you something right now. It's God who does the work. It's God who does the blessing, and God sees it. It doesn't matter how impossible it may look. I just want you to know that the Bible says in Jeremiah 32:7, asks a great question. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. Thank you. Praise God, you're getting it. You're here today, you're not feeling well, you're sick, you don't think, I can't do it. Oh, that's a lie. You can do it. You can do it. You got a problem where you feel like this is it. My life's over. My ministry's done. I'm done. I'm in the background. Everybody else is going forward. No, that's a lie. I tell you right now, Moses, he just kind of walked at 120 years old. He walked up to see God and God just bury him. You know what I'm saying? It was just his time was over. 120. I'm only 63 years old and I'm just beginning. Amen. And if you think I'm old, you're wrong. Old is not gray hair, blotchy skin, and brown spots showing up in your arms where you don't know where they came from. That's not old. Old is when you give up, sit down, and say, I can't go any further. Old is when you get up from your chair and walk to the TV because the remote's broken and you're breathing hard by the time you get there. I'm talking about being young in your spirit, young in your mind, and always youthful in your faith. Amen. Praise God. Faith success is not that you have been healed or prospered. This is what the Lord gave me. Faith success is not that you've been healed or prospered, but that you have trusted in the Lord in all areas of your life, even now. That's amazing to me. Mother Teresa over there in India with all those wet leopard babies in the orphanages. If you ever read her bio, you'll find in her biography, you'll find that the Catholic Church wouldn't release her for years. She was so submissive to spiritual authority, she didn't go. She said, if the bishop says no, I'm not going. She knew that God would deal with the bishop. He did years later. They released him to go. Mother Teresa goes over there. She's there. She's doing that. And the API news hears about all that's going on. The beauty of everything that she's doing, it's amazing. She's successful. Thousands of people are flocking after her. He goes and he finds her after searching for her for 3 days in India. He finds her in a little orphanage where there's hardly anybody there but sick, wet, leprous babies and children. The stench is horrible. And he walks in, he's got a handkerchief over his mouth, and he walks up to this woman who's bent down on the ground holding a wet leopard baby. He said, "Are you Mother Teresa?" She looked up and smiled. She goes, "Yes." He said, "I've been searching for you for 3 days. I'm so glad I found you. I'm from the API. We want to be a big story on you. But I don't know if I can, because I look around, I hear about thousands. Where is all your success that we've heard about?" She stood up, held that baby close to her heart, and said, "God never called me to be successful. He called me to be faithful." Amen. Success is when you are faithful in all things that God has called you to do. There are preachers today in churches running 60 to 100 that feel like they failed because all they have is 60 to 100 people, because they've got friends in the ministry that's running 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 or 6,000. If you're faithful where God has sent you, you are successful. Don't reason out your circumstances and become fleshy with your approach to victory. You desire, but cast out the cares of the world and believe God in all things. It's easy to get fleshy when you want something so bad. Walk with the Lord so deeply that it becomes as natural as breathing. I just want to quickly go over something here with you. There are 3 points that will make your life more spiritual and have real sense of victory every day. 3 distinct points. Not only a sense which may seem distant, but also a conviction with deep evidence in your soul. For that which God has spoken in your life through His Word will come to pass as you march on as a good soldier in Christ. Number one, faith conquers. We are more than conquerors. Romans 8:37, through Christ who loves us. He always causes us to triumph through Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb of God. Revelations 12:11. Faith conquers. I'm not living defeated today. I'm living a conqueror's life. Praise God. Yes, there's difficulties going on in my life right now. There's a warfare going on that's just consistently hammering at me. But I'm going to win. Amen. It's going to happen. I'm going to win. The devil's lost. He's just trying to manipulate and do all this stuff. But he's lost. Praise God. He has no victory. He has no right in my life, nor my family's life, nor in this church's life, nor in the foundation's life, nor in the church in Santa Cruz's life. He has no authority there. God is the authority of this church, of my family, of my foundation, of the church in Santa Cruz. God is the authority, and that is the authority that we all should listen to. Amen. We are more than conquerors. We are triumphant. And we are overcomers by the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil hates to hear those words, but I want to say it again. We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers. We are being led by God in triumph through Christ Jesus. Amen. Secondly, faith creates. It creates trust. Titus 1:2, God cannot lie. I trust that. I trust that. God called a Catholic boy to become a Pentecostal preacher. I trust that. I trust God's prophetic words. I trust God's word. I trust God's presence. I trust God's blessings in my life. How about you? Secondly, faith creates endurance. The dream we have from God. Genesis 37, I'm not going to go through that, but I'm going to tell you something. It's all about Joseph, excuse me. It's all about Joseph. You talk about endurance. How'd you like to be going to your family, have them reject you? Oh, that's happened. How'd you like to be thrown into a pit? Man, sometimes I feel like I'm in a pit. Somebody's thrown me in there. How'd you like to be taken and all of a sudden shown a little favor in Potiphar's house, and then bam, all of a sudden, here comes this woman. Boom! Now you got to run out because she wanted to have an affair with you, and you stood up for God and you ran out. You stood for the moral value of society and what God's convictions are. You run out and they throw you in jail for it. Talk about endurance, praise God. Then you go and you happen to go from the prison to the palace. And you get there, and man, how cool that was. Everything went great. His family shows up. He's got to go through the endurance of not falling apart. He even walks into a room and weeps so his family wouldn't see the mercy and the compassion he had. But he kept on going. He endured. Faith creates endurance. Faith creates hope, the destiny that we have in God. Psalm 73:24. You guide me with your counsel, leading me to a glorious destiny. It's God's word that guides you. God's word. God's word guides you. Have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden just something jumped off the page and you went, thank you, Jesus. You know, don't be like that preacher said, I didn't know what I was going to preach that Sunday, so I just went ahead like that and just pointed, and there it was, you know. You know, don't be like those people say, I got to get a word from God, and you just open it up, and boom, there it is. I'm telling you right now, study God's word and get a word from the Lord. And that word will carry you through to an anointing that you will never be ashamed of. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it's the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed to be a preacher. I'm not ashamed to be full of the Holy Ghost. I'm not ashamed to be Pentecostal. I'm not ashamed to be a man of God. I am not ashamed to be a husband, a father. I am not ashamed to be a pastor. I'm not ashamed to be an evangelist. I'm not ashamed to work in prophetic ministry. I'm not ashamed to lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. I'm not ashamed to declare from the rooftops of this world, Jesus is Savior. Yes. Faith, thirdly, constructs. Faith builds a foundation, Proverbs 10:25, a solid and lasting foundation. When the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. Storms will come. It's a funny thing about this, though, you can't go to your Google map to get it. You can't go and look it up on some Doppler somewhere that's just going to give you exactly what the weather's going to be like. You can't go to a farmer's almanac to find out what's going to happen. But you can read God's word and see that there are people that go through storms. And that the way they made it was being on the rock. The revelation of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so when the storm was over, they were still standing there. They looked at their neighbor who was and said, ah, man, you Christians ain't got it together. They went through the same storm. He's down there in the sand somewhere looking for something to build, rebuild. Are you with me? I'm almost finished. Are you with me? It establishes the vision of completion. Habakkuk chapter 2 verses 1 through 3. I will stand by my watch and set myself on a rampart and will watch to see what he will say to me. And what I will answer when I'm corrected. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it because it is surely to come. It will not tarry. If God has given you a promise, hang out, wait for it. Don't give up on it. If he said it's going to happen, hang on. You say, preacher, but you know, everybody says I don't have it together. Well, who cares what everybody else says? I care what God says personally. If I worried about what everybody else said, I'd probably be, I don't know where I'd be, probably in some bar drunk. I don't know. But I'm just trying to tell you right now, I firmly believe in what God says. I believe what God says. I believe that he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. I believe that he will bring it to pass. I said this many, many times in prayer. I said, God, when it comes together, would you take a snapshot of the devil and I as I'm laughing at his face and he's like going, oh my God. Praise God. We're going to get the last laugh. Everybody say that. We're going to get the last laugh. Amen. Amen. Why? Say this with me. Because God cannot lie. You say, preacher, I haven't got a word yet. It's coming. He's going to bless you. He's going to heal you. He's going to sanctify you. He's going to restore you. He's going to give unto you that which he has given unto you. He is going to keep until that day. He is the Lord God Almighty. Faith, it gives the title and ownership to you. Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the assurance and the amplified, that confirmation, the title deed. The first time I read this, way back in 1978, I was doing a study on faith, and this just resonated with me. And the story was where a man bought a piece of property. He owned it. It was his. He paid for it. It was paid for. It was done. But he had to move away for 30 years. And when he came back, the property was overtaken by other people. And he walked up to there and he said, you must leave. This is my property. They said, no, no one's been here. No one's claimed this property. This is ours. He said, follow me. He walked out to the barn where he knew he had, there was a shovel there because it was a farm. He grabbed a shovel and he said, walk with me. And he walked out to a tree in the back about 30 yards off the back of the barn, back there, and he went and he dug there at the base of the tree. And there he dug at the base of the tree. He dug about 3 feet down and he pulled up a container and he opened up the container. He pulled out a deed and he said, sir, would you read what it says? And he said, this property, and he gave the location, belongs to the name of the man who just dug up the deed. Friend, God has deeded your promise to you. If anybody comes to try to take it, dig up your deed, praise God, and put it in their face and say, my name is on the deed. Hallelujah to the Lamb. You cannot dwell here. I like what Joshua says in 14, 6 through 12. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea? I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Say, I'm not too old. 85 years old. As I yet am as strong this day as I on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard in that day how Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me and I shall also be able to drive them out as the Lord said. So when you Get your mountain. There may be some giants trying to keep you. Just remember, God gave you the mountain. You'll drive those giants out, praise God, because they belong to you. Now you can park somewhere else if you want, and you can look at a distance at that mountain saying, oh, that was once mine. Or you can stand up and send them a little notice. I'm on my way. You can leave now. If not, I'm going to destroy all of you. That's my mountain, my promise, my prophetic word, my, it belongs to me, and God gave it to me, and I'm going to move in it, and I'll war to keep it.
Yes.
Why are you getting so excited? Because I see youth in my eyes when I preach. I see young people being destroyed in America, and God promised a harvest for young people. He promised that the generation coming up would bring in a mighty anointing of God. That's why the devil's fighting them with drugs and alcohol, illicit sex, sexual identity difficulties, and everything else. He's having them thrown all over the map of confusion. They don't even know who they are, what they are, where they live. They just show up where they're at. But God promised in prayer to many of us in a prayer meeting that this was the generation that God was going to anoint highly to bring in the greatest harvest that this world has ever seen. That's my mountain! So mom and dad, don't back off. Tell them how to live. Let me close right now. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 in the NLT. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble comes your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. So how come I said in the beginning, some people want to just talk about faith, but they don't know how to fight. So when trouble comes, they get defeated because they don't know what to do. Got to have them both. You got to have faith and you got to have that warfare spirit. Because it seems funny that I would have to fight if something's already mine. It's fair. I'm just going to hang out. No. Because the devil will try to steal from you. He'll try to take from you. He'll try to destroy you. He'll try to destroy your marriage, your friendships, your church. He'll get your job. He'll get your wallet. He'll get your bank account. He'll take your home. He'll ruin everything. He'll try to do his best to destroy you. And my friend, no, your name's not Job. But if you read Job, you can see what can happen. But Job lasted to the end, and he was restored sevenfold. Praise God. I wish God just give you some of this anointing I got right now so you all wouldn't look so tired. You know what I mean? I'm the one that should be tired. I'm the one that's doing all the work up here. Praise God. Amen. I know I'm preaching a whole lot better than you all are letting on to. I know that for a fact. Coming into the kingdom of God is living a life that is sanctified and full of faith. But that'll bring warfare into your life. We must know how to fight and to recognize just what weaponry we have in our arsenal. What our resources are and where they come from. Nothing can stand against the faith we have in God. Nothing. 1 Peter 5 and 9, stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. This has been a scripture I've used my whole ministry. First time I've ever shared it in that concept to people. My wife knows this, but I've never shared it to people. But this is a scripture I use all the time in my ministry, in my own prayer time, my own sense of mobility, and thrust, and trust in God. Joshua 1 and 5. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live. For I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Joshua 1 and 5. So wherever my foot goes, God goes with my foot. So today, my prayer to God was that when he put this in my spirit, God, that there would be a seed planted so deeply that it would root so strongly and flare up so quickly that giants of faith would be birthed, warring beings of faith that would be willing to take down that which the enemy is trying to tear away in their life, that they would just take him down. And stand for the good. Amen.